episode of Music's on the Menu, broadcasting live from UBC Vancouver campus on the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird, joined, as per usual, forever and always, by Hugh Dana. Yeah. Forever and always. Probably not forever and always, but as long as they let us on the air. Oh, that was some nice Gatorade noises.
Oh, you can hear that?
Yeah, I can absolutely hear that. Okay. It's not a shame. The people want to hear you sucking on that Gatorade tip.
Anyways.
Ground us.
Today we got some good stuff to talk about, man.
Yeah, we're going to be discussing the new Miley Cyrus album, Endless Summer Vacation, as well as just some singles that came out over the week that we thought were noteworthy, or at least worth briefly shouting out, pimping out. Should probably just start with the singles.
You want to start with the singles?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we can't start with the main event. You ever heard of a thing called delayed gratification?
Huh. I have.
Yeah.
All right. So
I try to employ that in my everyday. Delaying gratification. It's a good strategy.
Well, on the topic of singles, we actually did have there was quite a few notable people dropping singles or EPs. Some of the bigger ones were Calvin Harris. Calvin Harris's song with Ellie Goulding, Miracle. Maluma dropped. I really like Maluma. Maluma dropped his single, La Arena. Blast. L.A. Mans dropped his EP, Just for Clarity 2. We had an NLE Choppa track. Tame Impala dropped a song for a movie. I think it was the Dungeons & Dragons film. Black came back with Talk Back. We had Christina and the Queens. We had Ray Schremer. We had Khalid with PNA. AU, Tiesto even dropped one. We had Sam Hunt. We had so many people to dig our teeth into. Who did you enjoy or who did you listen to?
The first thing I went to was the Calvin Harris song, because him and Ellie Goulding have made a few songs in the past, and this one is squarely, I think, the weakest of the three songs, at least three songs that I can think of that they've made together. Because it's not better than Outside, and it's not better than I Need Your Love.
No, definitely not better than I Need Your Love.
No. And I love Outside as well.
Yeah, that's a great, great track. I mean, this is an enjoyable track, though.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
It kind of sounds like Calvin Harris's best attempt at sounding like David Guetta.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very fast-paced and housey. Calvin Harris, you know, he's funk wave guy. He's got, like, all his... He's got, like, his drums that are, like, really make you groove in. This is, like, he's got the keyboard slowly speeding up, like, it's, like, Flashdance song.
Mm-hmm.
Which I actually do enjoy. Obviously, I don't enjoy it as much as, like, groovy Calvin Harris, but this is a good track.
Yeah.
What other... I know that you had a couple singles you wanted to talk about, so I'll let you continue.
All right. We should talk about your L.A. hero, Blast, linking up with Roddy Ricch on a song. I forget, but
passionate,
yeah, that song isn't great either. I feel like there's a lot of like meh songs that came out this week. In all honesty,
yeah, the singles weren't. I mean, I did love one single. We'll get to it, but I wouldn't say I'm disappointed with that Blast Roddy Ricch song.
I'm not disappointed in it.
Which is maybe telling of how low our expectations for Roddy Ricch are.
Yeah, it met expectations. The expectations weren't very high. Roddy Ricch just isn't that good anymore, dude.
We'll save that. I think we're going to have this conversation about Roddy Ricch later.
Okay.
Or just why we think people aren't as good as they were. Is it just us growing up? Like,
I don't know.
Like Trippie Redd, we used to think was so good. Now I can't listen to Trippie Redd.
Well, don't say we.
Okay, fair.
I was never on the Trippie Redd wagon.
Roddy Ricch, though. Like, maybe was Roddy Ricch just never that good? I don't think that's the truth.
There was a period where Roddy Ricch was like one of the most in-demand people in like hip-hop R&B spheres.
Dude, yeah, it was very
brief, but when it was happening for him, it was really happening for him.
Dude, I think he was the first like hip-hop person to have a number one since Raindrops dropped, what is that song called?
The Migos one. Migos?
Yeah. It was like Migos, and then it's like Drake and like all the pop people, and then I'm pretty sure Roddy Ricch is the next hip-hop guy to get a number one.
Huh.
Like, he was that guy. I mean, I wonder if COVID really curtailed his hype.
I mean, COVID was also probably beneficial because he was huge on the TikTok, and I don't think TikTok gets as big as it was if it weren't for COVID.
No, it doesn't.
So, COVID, TikTok did, like, propel him because the box was a...
Yeah, that was one of the original dances.
One of the original... Yeah, and also, I just remember people using it as, like, to further their own jokes. Sure, the dance, but also just the... at the start of the song.
Oh, that's right.
Was used for a bunch of punchlines. But, yeah, kind of beyond that, you know, 2020, 2019, 2020... Mr. Rich has not been doing a whole lot of great and passionate. That is from an EP with Blast, and Blast is first build, even though Roddy Ricch takes on most of that song. That whole Blast EP, I listened to it because you mentioned it as a thing.
I love that Blast sound. It's like very Los Angeles. But I love like the R&B hip-hop mix that he goes with.
I like Blast's style.
He's still good on throughout that EP, I think, Blast is.
Okay.
What do you think?
I mean, I listened to it, like, once, to be honest. I thought it was fine. I wasn't, like, blown away by any, or really, like, grabbed by anything I heard, to be honest. I actually thought Passionate was one of the stronger tracks among the four on the EP.
No, that's a good song. I would listen to that song again. I like that song.
Okay.
Talking about being blown away.
I'm not enamored.
NLE Choppa.
NLE Choppa.
You had high praise for this song. I couldn't see it.
I don't know if it's high praise. I just think NLE Choppa is kind of a funny guy. And he came up with a single called Mo Up Front. Because if you're going to pay NLE Choppa a sum of money, he wants that advance big. Yeah. But I don't have, like, the song's fun for what it is. It's got a lot of energy. He's yelling. The beat's moving. He's, like, obviously it's not an intricate song by any stretch of the imagination or anything like that. I just think he's kind of an entertaining character in the world. I'm glad that he exists. And, you know, it was... He made a thing, and it was fine. And it was enjoyable for what it is. Because NLE Choppa is one of those guys who, like, thinks he's way smarter than he is and has a lot of ridiculous opinions on how you should treat your body and stuff like that. That we don't need to get into, because I don't even, like, remember them off the top of my head very well.
Dude, I didn't even remember that. I completely forgot he went into that phase.
But he did... have like a thing where it's like, oh, like being on Twitter and being like, oh, if you're not pooping 12 times a day, there's something wrong with you. And it's like, well, maybe there's something wrong with you if you have to go that much.
I do remember he like kind of thought he had like ascended.
Yeah.
his like album cover was like him like floating. But
yeah. And also there's just other clips of like him speaking and trying to be profound, but he's just saying words and none of them connect and end up meaning anything. So.
He's not XXXTentacion.
X did that too.
No.
XXXTentacion also was one of those people who thought they were profound and they said a lot of words. And some of them were like, yeah, you know, this guy's got his heart in the right place. But I'm not really sure what your point is.
Because I remember him, he would say. They would be like a clip of him saying something that's like.
I just want to spread
at
peace.
At heart, it's a good message, but like he wasn't really saying much.
Yeah, at its heart, like, I just want to spread a positive message, even though for X, he didn't really spread a very positive message a lot of the time. But anyway.
But we'll move on.
We'll move on. That's not important.
I think we should mention Ray Shremmerd.
These people are funny. Ray Shremmerd's coming back, dude. Shrem Life 4 on the way.
I know, I'm excited for that. We'll definitely talk about Shrem Life 4. I mean, maybe we won't, but...
No, I think...
Then again, maybe we'll.
Maybe we will. I feel like you're a Ray Shremmerd guy for some
reason. I was a huge Ray Shremmerd guy. I was a huge, maybe I should rephrase this, I was a huge Swae Lee guy.
Everyone who was a Ray Sherman guy was really just a Sway Lee guy.
Not a single song that Slim Jim doesn't makes better that he's on. I'm just gonna, dude, like that first Shrem Life 2, bro. Like Black Beatles had everyone on lock, bro. That, like, there was a time where Ray Shremmerd were absolute. Sway Lee was absolutely at the top. I mean, like, Sunflower exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that song has like 3 billion streams
closing in on it. But that's we're not talking about.
My point is that like days. I don't. This single is not that good.
No,
and Ray Shremmerd used to make really good songs. Like, everything from Swaycation, I love. I like almost everything from Shrem 3. Swaycation is, like, Sway's, like...
Yeah. His like, solo work that's combined into a larger album of the three, of him, his partner, and the two of them together.
His partner? You mean Slim Jim?
His musical companion. I realized when I said partner, that's not what I meant. It didn't mean like romantic partner.
No, I don't.
Unless, of course, I mean, if they are, good for them. but I meant like his collaborator.
There was a time where like Sway Lee was thought of as like a really strong melodyne, like where if you had Sway Lee on a track, then you knew you were gonna get like a really strong melody or hook. Like Unforgettable is like one that stands out. Sunflower. But, like, it's just, I mean, I kind of get what he's doing here. This is not what he's trying to do there. He's not trying to make, like, a pop song. This is, like,
I feel like the song is just kind of one big chorus.
I'm not sure what's going on. I mean, it's actually not bad. Like, when I first listened to it, I was like, oh, great. There's a song by Ray Shremmerd called Tanisha. Like, this is just going to be them rapping. But it wasn't. My expectations were exceeded. But, like, I do want more from Ray Shremmerd.
Yeah. Or Sway Lee. I'm not sure if you can count on getting that from them at this point. But
I don't think I can.
Yeah. The song's just kind of one big chorus. It's not unlistenable, but it's also not, like, excellent or good or, you know. It won't suck while it's on, but it also isn't going to, like, make you really want to, let's play some Tanisha in brackets. Pump that.
Now, the Khalid record with...
The Khalid song.
Yeah, the Khalid song with PNA at U...
Is it just Panau? I've always read it as Panau.
I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're European guys. Famous for their Cold Hearted remix. That is a song that I really... First listen, I liked it. I put in my like songs.
Cold Heart, Dua Lipa, Elton John, Panau.
Yeah. They obviously, they are like a groovy electronic group who make a really... They pretty much make dance songs, but they've also kind of transitioned into like poppy dance songs, and that combination sounds like... Like, this really sounds like an Elton John song.
And I don't know why you think that.
The melody does.
Okay.
Have you ever listened to Yellow Brick Road? Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road?
Yeah.
Dude, this sounds like an Elton John, like, later 80s song, like, around I'm Still Standing.
Okay. I just...
Here, we're gonna play this song.
We'll play it. Panau are Australian.
Okay. I just knew they weren't American.
If it's not America, it's Europe, says the American.
I want to...
But yeah, I don't hear... I don't... Maybe I'm just not good at comparing melodies or thinking about melody that much, but I don't hear the Elton John thing at all.
That's fair.
But interesting that you took that away from that song. It's a good song, you know, but I just don't see the Elton John through line at all. The only connection that has with Elton John is that Panau worked with Elton John on a track, or at least remixed a thing and made a hit. I don't know if they probably worked with him. He probably has spoken to them.
Yeah. I mean, we'll let the listeners decide for themselves. The last thing I wanted to touch on was... Six Lakh, or I'm gonna just go by Six Lakh because people can't read, but it's Black with the six. I mean, I'm sure most people know who that is.
I don't explain.
You don't know who Black is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, but... so he's like one of my favorite rappers, and he announced that after like 5 or 6 years, he's going to release his third studio album, which I'm super excited for. I am a huge fan of Black. He's one of my favorite rappers. So he released a single. He's released 3 singles. I have yet to listen to one. This last one last week wasn't great, but the one before then I thought was awesome. And I just wanted to talk about Black for a bit because he hasn't released music in 5 years. But throughout the singles, he keeps bringing up the fact that he's not who he was, and obviously something has happened. So that's a record that I'm really looking forward to. He never lets me down. He's really creative with his wordplay and whatever he's experienced. I don't even know if it's true or not, but it sure sounds like it and feels like it. I loved his last record, East Atlanta Love Letter. And the first one's a classic, man, with the dreadlocks, with Problems and X-Colin. I'm super excited for this Black record, which drops, I believe it's next week. Yeah, next week.
Hey.
Nice. And there's an NF song, but we're not going to talk about that.
I didn't listen to it. I don't even know.
Anyways, we'll transition into Miley, so...
But before we do, we can't switch topics without playing a song. Because how else can we demarcate our different topics?
So we're going to play The Hard Way by PNAU and Khalid, which I think sounds like Elton John, like an Elton John track, but he does not. And regardless, it's a good track, man.
Important to stress that you think it sounds like an Elton John melody, because obviously most Elton John songs don't sound like electronic, groovy songs at all.
No.
Because the technology didn't exist when he was making most of his stuff. But yeah, the melody. So, yeah. I don't know. Think about the melody.
This is my favorite single from this week.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a really good track by PNAU and Khalid. This is The Hard Way. Through all the conflict, find a resolution. But now we're sitting in this empty room, and you're pushing me aside. Maybe if we'd have come to some agreement, a conversation deeper meaning. But now it's like you're leaving me for dead. We're finally out of time.
It's alive, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive. Megamall's debut EP, Escape from Lizard City, goes live on Friday, July 1st. Buy the cassette and lyric book on Bandcamp or stream wherever you listen to music. For the last 2.5 years, you could avoid everyone except yourself. Welcome to Lizard City. Oh, I see the love that
can know. Looking for some outdoor relaxation? Come and take a yoga class with Matt Collective, running Mondays through Thursdays. Matt Collective offers classes and events at iconic Vancouver locations like Canada Place, Stanley Park, and Kitts Beach. Visit mattcollective.com for more information. That's mattcollective.com.
Hey, this is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Where's Matt?
And we back, and we back, and we back.
Welcome, welcome. Anyways, that was The Hard Way. Yep. I love that track, man.
It's a very good song.
Yeah.
I still don't really get the Elton thing.
That is an absolute killer chorus.
I'm not going to die on that hill, because I'm not...
Neither will I, dude.
Yeah, it's not that important. Very few hills are worth dying on.
Just the Eat Hill.
Or like...
Anyways, we're going to transition to the Drizzy Hill also, but...
Whistler's a nice hill to die on as well.
We're going to transition to Miley Cyrus's new record. I want to say this is like her sixth studio record.
This is something that we shouldn't guess. We either say a number or we don't say anything at all.
Oh, I forgot about when she was a kid. Okay,
yeah.
So...
That's kind of something I want to mention. Not really... It doesn't really affect anything about this. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm messing with the microphone.
This is her... I don't hear anything. This is her... this is her eighth studio album.
Okay. Anyway, Endless Summer Vacation. Pretty good album. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this.
I mean, I think it is worth mentioning that... I would not have listened to this record. Or been as excited for this record because, I mean, like... super put together albums. We don't, considering we try to find something every week, it's kind of a rarity. So I ended up being excited for this record, and I would not have been without Flowers. Now, Flowers has already has. We played Flowers when it came out. We were like, hey, it's a good single. Yeah, we did. I don't know if that was like five or six weeks
didn't.
Ago.
We didn't.
Yeah, it's on my playlist.
Okay. I don't remember.
Oh, no, we didn't play it.
No.
But we talked about it.
Yeah. We definitely mentioned it, but I make the play sheet, right?
Yeah.
So I remember like typing in the names of songs.
No, we
and
didn't. But we
about
talked about
it.
It. We thought about playing it. We ended up playing something else. But
yeah,
it has 700 million streams. Now that song went number one. It was her. I want to say it's her first number one since I want to say. I mean, I assume Wrecking Ball went number one. That's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
There's no way that Malibu went number one. This is her first number one, and she stood there for a long time.
Well, not her first number one, but.
Her first number one in a decade.
In a bit. We'll see in a bit. Play it safe.
And she sat there for a while until she was inevitably overtaken by the all-conquering Abel Tesfaye. But without that song being so huge and the narrative that surrounded it, which was it was about her and her husband, who is
Liam Hemsworth.
They were divorced, I want to say, in the end of 2020.
2022, I want to say.
Okay, well, it was sometime during COVID.
In COVID.
It was following her last record. So not only was there a massive single hyping or paving the way for this record, there was going to be a narrative this record followed, which is even more exciting for you and I because we tend to like songs that are written that way.
Oh no, it was only 2020.
Yeah, we tend to like songs that are written that way, and I think one. That the narrative that she ended up, the narrative that came from this record, I really liked. You kind of have to dig for it, but I really liked it. And this is just a great pop record, man.
Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, there's every pop orifice is filled here. You got like the big pop songs. You have like Jaded mm-hmm. and Flowers, which expand into like radio hits. Then you have your synthy pop. You have Rose Colored Lenses, Violet Chemistry. You have your pop ballads, which is You, Thousand Miles, Wonder Woman. You have, I mean, everything a pop fan likes is on this record. It is a varied but good and complete album.
Yes, I agree completely. Yeah, definitely ticks all the boxes. Okay, I think the thing I was wondering about with the microphone earlier was actually just the construction upstairs. Anyway, I'm off that hill now. But yeah, this was a very good album. I think that the standout tracks for me on this album.
Yeah, give me your podium. Give me your podium.
Podium? Oof. I don't know. It's not really a podium. It's just the three songs that for me kind of stand above the rest, I think, are Jaded, Rose Colored Lenses, and Island. I think those are my three favorites off the album. Jaded.
I'm gonna have to say the same thing. Yeah. Excluding Flowers, because I do love Flowers.
Flowers is good. I kind of didn't think about Flowers that much when evaluating the album.
Yeah, I didn't. I went straight to Jaded.
Well, I listened to Flowers within the context of the album as well, and it's nice as the opener, but because it's already been out, people are already familiar with it. I wasn't really thinking about that as much. Flowers is good, but Jaded's just, you know, big old chorus.
That's one
really,
thing that
she
is...
really stretches her voice on that song, I think. And I like it too because it's. I think throughout the album, there's kind of a theme of like, I mean, obviously, I guess this isn't that innovative or anything, but it's a regretful breakup album, I think. And I like that. I think Jaded brings that point of we're broken up, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're jaded and stuff. I like that part. I like kind of the regretful breakup part. Rose Colored Lenses is
a reminiscent song.
Very reminiscent. You know, like using the whole rose colored lenses thing that people use to remember the past nostalgically and, oh, it was all good. And just wanting to keep that energy, just pretend that everything's okay, even though it ain't. And then Island, towards the end, is great too. And it's about just being free.
Yeah, I think that this record is about...
Feeling like untethered. I think there's a line in here where, in that song, where she mentions that, like, there's nobody here, like, wants anything from me. And that's unusual for her, I guess. That's just a line that stood out to me that I think encapsulates some things about that song. It's just, I'm untethered. I'm free. I feel better. Not very astute analysis there,
I think,
but
that this whole record is an internal dialogue from the start of a relationship till it after it ends. Like, it starts with Handstand is like the drug induced intro, then you have like the serious rise up as the relationship gets serious. You have you have Wildcard, then you have the peak, you have Violet Chemistry, then you have the slow like destruction and erosion and atrophy of the relationship. You have Muddy Feet as she finds out what's really going on. Then you have, and like in the peak, you have Rivers in there, Thousand Miles is in there, and then you have Muddy Waters, which signals kind of the end of it. And then you have the opposite. You have Wonder Woman, which is her hurt, which is like the hurting stage. And then you have coming out of it where you're healing yourself. You have Thousand Miles. You have Flowers. You have Jaded, and then you have Rose Colored Lenses at the very end, and Island, where you're kind of freeing yourself and you're looking back at it. And throughout that, you have all the internal dialogues that come with the start and the end of a relationship. And I think that, I don't know if that's what she's going with, but I think that this album really captures all of the feelings and stages of a relationship and all the internal dialogues that come with. Like, Island, I think, is at the far end of it, where you come out the far end and you're a better person for it, and you understand that, and life is different now, and you start to enjoy the things you couldn't, like her realizing that there's no one for her to answer to. She's not constantly being bombarded by something or someone else. And I really like that about, that's probably what I like most about this record. Now, what is also something I also want to point out is that every chorus is really strong, which is really helpful. There are some verses in here that I think kind of fall kind of flat.
Yeah.
But then the chorus consistently picks the song up in mm-hmm. almost every track. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the piano ballads, they're a little more somber, and you don't get on your feet like Jaded or Violet Chemistry is one of those. River is one of those. I mean, this is the best pop record I've heard in a long time. Thematically, when it comes to variation, there's just every kind of pop song in there, which obviously as a big pop fan, you know I'm going to eat up.
Mm-hmm.
I love where I think she went with this record thematically, how she got herself through it, because I'm sure this was incredibly hard to create. The instrumentals I also want to mention. I already mentioned, like, there's some of them are warm and poppy. Then you got the somber piano ones. Then you got the synth pop ones. Overall, this is a very easy listen, and yeah. I very much enjoyed listening to it.
Yes. The instrumentals are very strong throughout the album. They bring a lot. I think Violet Chemistry, I think, is my favorite instrumental. I think there's just a lot of different things going on in that song. I think there's just a lot of different elements, a lot of layers to that beat and on the beats throughout this record. It is worth mentioning, I think, discussing the two features, or the semi-features that this album brings, with Brandi Carlile on Thousand Miles and Sia on Muddy Feet. Neither of them are, like, proper features.
I'm pretty sure Brandi Carlile is playing the guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Like, neither of them are really performing. Like, you hear, like, they're harmonizing, and Sia gets, like, a little bit of, like, a bridge moment on her song, but neither of the features are make an impact.
I like the Brandi Carlile one. I like her guitar in there.
Yeah.
It's just like the two of them sitting there with the piano. I think that's the stronger track.
Yeah, I guess I'm just talking from like a vocal perspective. I mean, who knows?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I would just like to hear Sia, honestly. I just like to hear Sia do her thing on a Miley Cyrus song. I think that'd be good. I think that would really work well together. I think they'd complement each other very well. Same with Brandi Carlile with the country background that Miley's got.
Yeah.
I just think I think both of those people, if they were like properly singing and had their own verse and performing, I think they would have complemented those songs very well. And so I just like the songs are like what they bring is still like good, and obviously not every feature has to like be its own thing. It can just sort of exist within the layers of it can exist within the song without having the spotlight on it and still be like a proper feature, of course. But I think it would have been cool if they had more airtime. I would have liked that. I think that would have been worth it. But yeah. But I get, you know, you don't need to do that.
Yeah. I think they work. I liked the record for what it is. I mean, I like what she did with them. For what she's doing with this record, I like that it's just her throughout it. I think it actually makes it stronger. Featuring Sia, yeah, you do expect a little more, but she does come in and she does enhance the song. The guitar from Brandi Carlile is great. And I have no complaints. I have no complaints with the features.
Okay. I just think it would have been cool if they did more. I'm curious to hear what they would have done. That's really all it is.
Anyways, I would say my podium is the same. I would say it would go Jaded Rose Colored Lenses, Island. I think those three are great. I mean, through and through. Like I love the chorus on River and Violet Chemistry, but I just think that the verses on Rose Colored Lenses and Jaded and Island are super strong. So. Yeah.
I think for me personally, I think the weakest, the song that kind of does the least for me is You. For some reason, I think
outside of Handstand, which is like this strange.
Yeah, Handstand's more of an interlude. Yeah, so it works in different ways. It's got a cool beat, but it's kind of harder to judge, I guess.
Yeah,
or at least harder to be majorly critical of a song that isn't really a full song.
Yeah.
But I think the lowest points on this album for me are just the moments that aren't the themes and the topics that she'll get into that just I feel like I've heard it before and I don't really care to hear it again. Like Wonder Woman is an example of that, where I feel like it's just enough. It's a song about like wanting to be appear strong and but really
picking
you're
picking yourself up.
You're struggling, but yeah, picking yourself up. So I guess, and it's a nice sentiment, but I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah,
I mean, I've heard that topic explored before in other songs, so it's not something I really care to or is super interesting to hear it again, because I feel like that it's been a point that's been made a lot of like wanting to be strong and appear like is be great and strong, but you're hurting inside and it's not really work. You can't really keep up that facade. And then with you, I guess it's less of that point, but it's one of those songs of there's all these things I want to do, and some of the stuff that she mentions that she wants to do with this person are like kind of weird, kind of like are like not like proper things to do, I guess, but it's I only want to do them if with you, and
which is the point. I really think that's a strong song.
Okay.
Thematically.
I just don't care for the theme.
I expect that. I would expect that you wouldn't like that. And obviously I'm never going to gripe over someone saying, no, this is just me. I'm never going to gripe over hearing the same theme from like multiple people, because everyone obviously is going to have their own take on it. And I think it really works for this record, because obviously what I like most of this record is how you can kind of see her dealing with each stage of the relationship. And Wonder Woman is a crucial part of that, and I think it's really good for the record. Will I go back and listen to it? Very unlikely. Like, it's a song that, like you said, has been explored. It's also just like a somber song, but I think it works really well, and then I don't dislike that it's about what it's about. I think You is great fitting in this record. I think that it encapsulates when, like, the peak of love. Like, there's all these, like, very like out of the box and extremely intimate and in like a kind of slanted way that you only do with someone when you get to that point. And I like that that's in this record, because then you have songs like Mighty Feet where she's like, get the hell out of my house. So you could see what the top is and what the bottom is. And I really enjoy that. And I think that she captures that really well with that song, You. I think that she captures the heights of a relationship really well, and like the intimacy that comes with it in You, in Violet Chemistry, in River, in Wildcard. So I do enjoy that, but I could see why you wouldn't like it. It's a little graphic, maybe, in a sense. It's uncomfortable,
it's not that it's graphic or uncomfortable. I think it's not. I guess to me, I don't find it a
appealing.
I guess like an appealing or an interesting way to say that you're in love with a person is to mention a bunch of things that you'd only want to do with them, and like some of them are off the wall a little bit and strange. I don't know. I guess the worst that the album gets for me is just when there's songs that I just don't care about the theme or the way the theme of the track is explored. I think that's kind of what it comes down to for me with Wonder Woman and You. Like, sure, they make sense within the narrative of the album, but I just am less interested in what they have to say, what those songs have to say, than in other ones.
And that's fair. Anyways, we'll wrap our conversation up on Endless Summer Vacation by Miley Cyrus. I think we've...
Something I quickly want to throw in about this, and this is less about the album and more just about... thing I was trying to think about when starting the album is, like, I had no idea that Miley Cyrus was only 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was older than that. I can't believe Wrecking Ball came out when she was, like, 21.
Yeah.
That's just so surprising. That was just very surprising.
I mean, dude, she was what, like 16 on Hannah Montana?
Yeah. Like, she was
15?
Yeah, that's what makes her feel older, is the fact that she was a teen, a star as a teen. But
dude, I think
regardless,
her first record
comes
out and she's like 13 or 14.
Yeah, like she was a kid.
Child star.
Yeah, child star. And so that obviously would make her feel older because she's been in the spotlight for a whole lot longer. But yeah, that was just something that surprised me. Also, I want to just mention that line on Island again about no one needs anything from me. This is kind of nice. Like, that's probably been her entire life, is people like wanting or needing something from her because of the fact that she's been famous pretty much her whole life.
Yeah, her father was famous too.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, shout out Billy Ray.
Billy Ray. So that's just a different, just an, she's just lived a like a completely unrelatable life. And
but she writes an album that's relatable.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, right? Obviously, but like it's not like she's, I think it'd be, it's just a thing I think about, is just thinking about like the what she's experienced as a person and the way and how her life has just been so completely unusual compared to majority of people. And yeah, that's kind of all. It's not really a point that goes anywhere. It's just a thought. Yeah. I have,
I mean, I'll quickly point out the last track on the record, which is the Flowers demo, which I think furthers the itinerary of the and the thematic of the album. The demo of Flowers, now we all know the normal, like the single version of Flowers is booming. It's got like it's like a power pop song. The demo is a somber piano ballad, and I think that this just, you could literally see the stages of heartbreak and recovery through the demo into the actual single. You could see how she is moving through the stages of grief, pretty much, where she's like truly heartbroken in Flowers, and it's like a sad recollection. And then the single version of it is like a screw you, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna be out there and I'm gonna move past this and be stronger for it. And I think that's I just think that like really put the cherry on top for just a really well-rounded thematic album for me.
Okay.
Anyways, we will play Island.
I dig it. Hell yeah.
Because that is, we've talked about that a lot, and it's a good record, and I don't think it'll get as much love as it probably should. But anyways, this is Island off of Miley's 9th studio record, Endless Summer Vacation.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Happy, happy, fun time music, Fridays at 12 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
And unfortunately, we're all human. Except me, of course.
And we're back.
Back, final 10 minutes of this week.
Yep.
So you and I had a conversation yesterday when we were thumbing through what we should talk about. We kind of like had a full-fledged conversation.
This is what happens, I think, is you're like, what should we talk about? And then if an idea gets floated out, and then we have that entire conversation, and then it's like, dang, we should have just saved that for the show.
Well, we always want to make sure we have like the amount of content we think we'd like to be able to talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
And we definitely did. And that conversation was the statement you made was,
my gripe that I think albums are definitely longer these days in the streaming era than they've ever been. And that is, on one hand, a consequence of technology. You're not constrained by CDs or vinyl records for your length. You can have something be
48 tracks, as like long Chris Brown.
Yeah, as long as you'd like it to be. Because
shout
it's,
out Heartbreak on a Full Moon, bro.
Because it's just a... it's just an MP3 file at the end of the day. But, yeah, albums are definitely longer these days. And I guess just my general gripe with that is I don't like it. I don't like the trend of overlong albums. I think because...
You're a big thematic guy.
Yes. I really like albums when they have a concept, when there's a theme, when it doesn't just feel like it's a collection of songs. Like, every time I'm listening to an album, I think to myself, like, what's the point? Why does this exist?
And that was kind of our gripe with the Don Toliver record, right?
Yeah.
Is that it's not To Pimp a Butterfly.
No, that's...
clearly a...
Okay, that's a ridiculous comparison.
No, but that's like, I feel like you weigh a lot of records to Kendrick records, because that's your favorite artist and you know those records the most. So that's why I'm bringing up To Pimp a Butterfly, because I think you weigh a lot of things to Kendrick.
Probably.
Which is fair, because that's kind of like that's your foundation, that's your base. So there's nothing wrong with that. Like, we were talking about Lovesick, how, like, it looked like there was going to be a theme and there wasn't. And then there was... And then the album was kind of hard to get to because it was just like 18 tracks that were kind of just like, and like we kind of were like, okay, like why is Scorpion 23 songs? And it was like, well, he's probably made 240 in that time, and cutting it down to 13 is probably pretty much impossible.
Yeah, like that was a point you brought up when I mentioned like why are like albums are too long. This isn't like necessarily a good thing for. Anyway, I need to backtrack. I think we're getting in a little fast. Just because, like, I think when... there's definitely a lot of albums that, like, for example, Scorpion by Drake, that I think would be a lot stronger if they were trimmed by X amount of song. It doesn't matter, like, the specific number. But just... I just don't like the just flabbing out an album just so we can get more streams, just so you can pad out your streaming numbers more.
Well, I think Scorpion's a bad example for that one.
Of course, it's a bad example.
There is like a structure to the record that is.
It is a double album, and there is that whole thing.
Yeah, there's he has his 11 rap, he has his 11 R&B, and then he has this song about his son, which is kind of just like taped onto the back.
Yeah.
I think that like the Don Toliver one is the first one that came to mind.
Okay.
Where it was like,
I think the first thing that really comes to mind for me when we talk about like just intentionally making albums long, because you don't have a direction or you don't have a point, so you're just going to put a bunch of stuff out there and hope that some of it sticks, is Migos going from Culture One, which was like 15, 16 songs, I think, which is like a decent length. Like, it was a tighter trap album. And then Culture Two and Culture Three were both over 20 songs long.
But that doesn't make sense, though.
No one needs a 90-minute Migos album.
No, but they think you do, and they probably made enough music that they wanted you to hear that, right? Now, Migos are not artistic savants. No,
and
they're going to be able to make 4 or 5 songs that I think they really like a day. So in between 1 and 2, they probably made 500 songs.
Yeah.
So cutting it down to 23 was probably so meticulous and tedious. Mm-hmm. Now, in that span that they made 500 songs, your interest for Migos has thinned because it's kind of the same formula every time. So then again, you want 15 songs because that's just like, it's satisfying. It fills you up.
Yeah, and it's also having a tighter track list is going to make an album, I think it's just going to make it feel stronger because you're going to be really thinning the herd and you're only going to be leaving the best stuff. So I guess it's just kind of it's just like what are your priorities? Like, do you want to be like artistic and have like a not even just a great concept, but it's just how much do you care about the integrity of the album as a concept?
I mean, that's kind of a flamey take. Because obviously they all care about their albums, but I will say that you and I were like, look, everyone that has made an album that you think is bloated, it is with, like, there are certain people who you know won't make a bloated album. The Weeknd won't make a bloated album. Olivia Rodrigo will not come out with, Bruno Mars won't have a bloated album.
Bruno Mars has never come out with a bloated
album.
No,
like, you know.
That man comes out with 10 songs every 5
like,
years.
That's the 70s. I mean, look, dude looks like you picked him up from the 70s and popped him in. No,
yeah,
like,
but that's also something that makes Bruno Mars great, is that when he comes out with an album, it's all hits, no misses.
Yeah, but it also, like, it takes Bruno Mars probably 3 weeks to craft a song when it takes Migos 3 hours, right? Like, yeah. It's a different level of artwork. And I think that the Migos are looking for something else in their listeners as well. The Migos want you to be able to drive around. Bruno Mars wants you to sit there and take it in and dance, bro. Bruno Mars wants you to be the music to fully envelop you.
Yeah.
The Migos, they're fine with you just driving around, talking to your buddy, having the song on. I mean, that's kind of what I assume. Because it's just kind of the way the music is. Now, obviously, I loved the Migos. Rest in peace, Takeoff. They're not really a thing anymore. But I think that, like if we looked at the tracks, or like the people who are coming out with records, we could probably say, this one will be bloated, or this one could be bloated, this one won't, this one could be, this one won't. It'll be fairly obvious.
Yeah, because it's just the better artists.
Correct.
Are going to have the tighter albums.
And I also think time matters. It's some. Like how Kendrick made a double album after 5 years. Like, usually he wouldn't make a double album, but he probably did because it was so long. Like, 6 lakh songs, usually as a tight album, he waited 5 years. It's probably going to be closing in on. So SZA, this is a perfect example. She waited so long, and then she's also kind of an exception.
But yeah, SZA's,
every track is great.
Yeah, but it's not like you... Yeah, obviously.
But you'd expect her to not be bloated, and it was bloated, and it happened to be great. So
but it's not bloated.
It's not because she's great, but it is 23 songs, which usually you would say is same length as Scorpion. You
but length, bloated. Albums being 20 songs isn't inherently a problem. There's plenty of great albums that are 20 songs, or so, or 20 or more songs.
So what is the gripe then?
The gripe is when you don't need it to be 20 songs, and you still make it 20 songs just to get numbers up.
What makes What needs, what makes SOS need to be 23 that makes Scorpion is lacking? Because they're both 23, I want to say.
Well, one's better than the other.
But is that because one has, why? Is that
Damn. Now I'm like, dude.
I'm trying to get I'm kind of pushing this. This is kind of just a subjective thing. Yeah. I'm trying to make it like intelligent and like.
Of course, as it should be. I think. Well, I think
it's really artist preference is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And the Migos is a good example because by the time Culture 2 comes out, you're kind of tired of them.
Yeah, because
and you expect
Migos don't have 20 songs worth of things to say.
There you go. That's a good. That works for the Scorpion. And you, if you think that Drake doesn't have 20 things to say, that's fair.
But yeah. I guess I was a little worried about saying that in front of you.
No, I don't care, bro. I know
you're not going to get personally offended by it. I don't know. But I just didn't need you to push back and challenge me on a Scorpion take because I haven't listened to Scorpion
dude,
in a
I'm
while.
Not gonna push, I would
just
push
remember
back on like,
listening
if you're
to Scorpion.
This, I'm not going to push back on Scorpion.
Okay.
But now we're going to have to play a song. No, I'm kidding. I mean, like,
It's just saying. Saying more than you have to say, it weakens the overall product of the album, and it makes the album less of, like, have less of a purpose and more just be a bunch of songs that you put under one banner, as opposed to, like, having a point with it. And, yeah, I'm like, holding people to too high of a standard. Because you have, like, I mean, obviously, like, your standards.
Yeah.
Because people go into make music for different reasons. Not everyone's trying to have like a brilliant art piece every time. Obviously, some people are just gonna want to like put out a bunch of tracks and
yeah, that they like. I think that's that. That's kind of where what.
But those people are also gonna be held back artistically and are not gonna be as good as the person who really sits and thinks about what they want their album to be, and how they want. The tracks to go. So with about 3 seconds left in the hour,
I think that it's just depends on how much you like an artist, man.
Yeah, I guess.
Like Cheyenne, our good friend Cheyenne loved Love Sick and loved How Long It Was. I loved How Long Scorpion Was, and I loved Drake.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you loved How Long Mr. Morale Was.
But yeah, but I don't even think Mr. Morale. It's like 18 songs still, though.
Oh wow! I mean, that's
it's not.
But
even,
that's like a long Kendrick album.
I guess that is.
Like some artists, you'd be in danger. Like a Bruno Mars album that was 18 tracks, we'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, I'd be like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Here? But anyway, I guess to wrap it up, as with so many things, maybe it just comes down to preference.
Yeah.
But
it's an interesting thought. Experiment.
It's an interesting thought, especially because it is definitely a thing these days, but. My last point, before we definitely overstay our welcome in here, is that I think...
Endless Summer Vacation's dumb.
Endless Summer Vacation's dope, and better... Yeah, like, if you want to be a good artist, you got to have some intention with your album.
Fair. I don't think that's...
Which is not a hot take by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just, like, kind of the reality of the situation. Like, if you're great, it's going to be tighter. And if you're not great, you're going to just be throwing stuff at the wall and hope that enough people like enough of the things.
And with that, we'll conclude this week's episode of Music's on the Menu.
Yes, yes.
We'll be back.
Next week.
The 23rd of March. And I don't know what's dropping. I knew that Miley was dropping last week.
Yeah, I got no clue what's coming out. I never really have a clue. I just kind of hop on Spotify at 9 p.m. and figure it out.
Yeah, and I just know like the big, big drops. Mm-hmm. Anyways, enjoy your weekend, yep. Everyone, and we will see you in 7 days' time.